Today, as we come to Proverbs chapter 12 in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Proverbs, if I were to title this chapter anything, I would title it Words, Deeds, and Destiny, because those are some of the themes dealt with in this chapter. We do want to remind ourselves that we're in this extended portion of the book of Proverbs where there isn't really any context. It is a collection of two-line, single-verse Proverbs that speak the wisdom of God for practical living to you and to me. So let's pick it up here. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Wisdom tells us to keep learning and to even love instruction, to love knowledge. A humble willingness to be taught, you could call that instruction, shows that someone has a true love of knowledge. I like what Bridges has to say about this. He said this related to this proverb. If we find that we are upset when our faults are pointed out to us, that shows that we lack not only grace, but understanding. We are behaving as if we were stupid. Oh, for a teachable spirit to sit at the feet of our divine master and learn from him. Amen to that. Now, the corollary of this is true as well in the second line of the proverb. He who hates correction is stupid. You see, the proud man or woman who is unwilling to receive correction reveals his or her own rejection of knowledge. And you can just say simply of them that they're stupid. They're foolish. They are an enemy to themselves and even to their own happiness. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. Obedience to God leads us to deeper relationship with him. That's why it simply says, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. Now, this principle was especially true under the Old Covenant, because an essential part of the Old Covenant was its promises of blessings for obedience and its promises of curses for disobedience. You'll find those chapters towards the end of Leviticus, but also especially Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28. Therefore, it was especially true under the Old Covenant that a good man obtains favor from the Lord. Now, there's also a sense in which this is true under the New Covenant, not in a cause and effect kind of way, but just in a very natural way that the more obedient we are, the more we walk in God's ways, and the more we enjoy his blessings. The corollary is true, given in the second line of this proverb. A man of wicked intentions, he will condemn. God can see the intentions of our heart. And when God sees that a man or woman has wicked intentions, even before they result in wicked actions, even if they never result in wicked actions, God sees those wicked intentions, and he takes them into account. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. Many men seek to advance and establish themselves through treating others badly. But friends, a man is not established by wickedness. Lying, cheating, deception, and bullying are common when someone seeks to advance or establish himself. Friends, this is never God's way. This can never enjoy his blessing. However, the corollary is true. This is the positive corollary in the second line of the proverb. The root of the righteous cannot be moved. God establishes his righteous ones in a firm and permanent way. Their root goes down deep and holds strong. Psalm 62, verse 6 puts it like this. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Therefore, when it says there in verse 2 that the root of the righteous cannot be moved, it's because they're set upon the solid rock. And Jesus himself promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. They could not be moved. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. A man may achieve success in many areas of life, but unless there is happiness and harmony in his home, all other achievements are empty. But if he does have this, if he does have, as it says here, an excellent wife, then she is the crown of her husband, as Proverbs 12:4 says. To have an excellent wife and all the home happiness that she brings, that is a true crown of success. Derek Kidner said that the idea behind the word excellent is something like, she has a lot in her. It has the idea of strength and worth. And I don't know if you know women like that. I certainly do. I count myself to be this blessed man whose excellent wife, my own wonderful wife, Inga Lil, is an excellent wife and truly a crown in my life. Now, there's also an opposite of this, as is stated in many of these proverbs. Here's the second line. She who causes shame is like rottenness. Do you see the contrast? A crown, that's excellent wife. A wife that causes shame, that's like rottenness. A wife that brings shame to the husband and to the family seems to take away life and happiness instead of bringing it. For Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The righteous man or woman is not only right in their actions, but even in their thoughts. That's why verse 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. You see, the righteous man or woman knows something of what it means to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, as the Apostle Paul would later speak about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But contrasting to that, again, the contrast is given in the second line of the proverb, the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. As for the wicked, it is more than their actions that are deceitful. Their counsels, that is, their thinking, their thoughts, are also full of deception and error. Proverbs 12:6. The words of the wicked are, lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked plot violence, and they're ready to ambush others for their own unrighteous gain. That's why it says, the word of the wicked are, lie in wait for blood. However, in contrast, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The upright man or woman will find their rescue in the good and the wise words that they speak. Proverbs 12:7. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Having no root in righteousness, as we saw previously in Proverbs chapter 12, the wicked cannot and will not stand. They will one day be overthrown and simply perish. Yes, the first line of this proverb is true. The wicked are overthrown and are no more. But here's the glorious contrast. But the house of the righteous will stand. God will preserve his own righteous men and women. They and their house will endure that which would overthrow the house of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Wise men and women will be recognized and honored for their wisdom. That's why it says that the wise man will be commended according to his wisdom. The more wisdom he has, the greater the commendation. This is often true in the world, but it's always true in the world to come. Now, on the contrasting side, the one who is of a perverse heart, as verse 8 says, will be despised. The one with the crooked or twisted heart will not receive praise. They will not receive the commendation that the wise one will. No, instead, they will be despised. And the present age often show this to be true, but the coming age will certainly show it to be so. Proverbs 12:9. Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. To receive an insult or to be slighted is never pleasant. But did you see what verse 9 says? Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant. You see, wisdom sees that if someone has enough in this world to have a servant, then they shouldn't be so proud as to despair over an insult. Now, in the ancient world, as well, this is true sometimes in other places in the world today, you don't have to be exceptionally wealthy to have a servant. It was sort of a common, not exactly accurate to say middle class, but that kind of idea. So even if you're not fabulously wealthy and you're slighted, but you have a servant, you have enough, you have enough to provide for your needs, then you can be in a better place. Notice the second half of verse 9, than he who honors himself but lacks bread. The proud man who promotes his own honor, he can't eat his self-exaltation. Friends, honoring self is not the way to either prosperity or to happiness. There's something strange, isn't it, about those people who are proud when they really have nothing to be proud about. So the one who merely honors himself and lacks bread, you're in a bad place. You're in a worse place than the one who is slighted. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. God cares for animals. We see this throughout the scriptures. He cares about the bird that falls from the ground. He cares about how people in the Old Covenant treat their animals. God cares for animals. And the righteous man or godly man will also show care and compassion to his animal. That's why it simply says, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. There is a true sense, however, in which that animal belongs to him. Notice it says there, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. God has given that owner of the animal some measure of authority over the animal, but it's also to exercise that authority with care and with compassion. However, on the flip side, the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Even the supposed mercies of the wicked have their own cruel self-interest in mind. The righteous man is kind even to his animals, but the wicked man can be cruel even in his kindness. I like what Adam Clark, that Methodist commentator of the early 19th century, said. He said, the wicked, influenced by Satan, can show no other disposition than what is in their master. If they appear at any time merciful, it is a cloak which they use to cover purposes of cruelty. So even the pretended tender mercies of the wicked show themselves to be cruel at some point or another. Proverbs 12:11. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. The one who does the hard work of farming will be satisfied with bread. That's why it says he who tills his land. Now, tilling your land is hard work, but there's a reward to it. Will be satisfied with bread. Under God's blessing, they will enjoy the result of their labor. But verse 11 also says, he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. The person who lives for the vain and superficial things of life lacks something worse than bread. He is devoid of understanding. Proverbs 12:12. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. It is in the nature of the wicked to covet what others have, even if it is the catch of evil men. In this they sin in their covetousness and in their longing for what has been gathered, even by the evil man. However, in contrast, the root of the righteous yields fruit. God's righteous men and women don't need to covet the catch of evil men, because they are like fruit-bearing trees. Fruit comes from their very root, from who they are. And that's how God wants us to be as his people. Regenerated by his Holy Spirit, continually growing in grace, with good things bearing fruit unto God. Proverbs 12:13. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. What a wicked man says, that means the transgression of his lips, as it's there in the first line of verse 13. What a wicked man says will eventually get him into trouble. That's why it says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. It will be a snare that he is trapped in. Think about it, friends. Liars have to have very good memories because they must always cover for their lies. Eventually, they will be ensnared. They will be caught in the net of their own lies. However, there's a glorious contrast here in verse 13. The righteous will come through trouble. The righteous man or woman will certainly experience trouble, but will come through it. As Jesus said, in the world you will have good tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the promise to God's righteous men and women. And maybe this is a worthy place for us to say that when we go through Proverbs and hear about the righteous man, the righteous woman, we understand this in a definite new covenant context, where righteousness is received by faith. Even as was of Abraham of old, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Even so, that is the place of the believer under the new covenant. We trust in who Jesus is. We trust in what Jesus has done for us, especially what he has done at the cross and in his resurrection. And that is the way that the righteousness of God is bestowed upon us. I want you, I want all of us, to be among the righteous who will come through tribulation. Proverbs 12:14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. A righteous man finds blessing comes to his life by what he says, that is the fruit of his mouth. His good, kind, and encouraging words will bring life to himself and to others. However, in contrast, the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. A man will receive what he's worked for, whether it be for good or for evil. God's judgments are true and fitting. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The fool almost always thinks that they are on the right path. It's difficult to get them to think carefully and accurately about the path of their life. That's why it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but verse 15 continues, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The wise man or woman understands the value of counsel and does not look only to what is right in his own eyes. The wise person understands that it is helpful to get another set of eyes, so to speak, on one's way. Friends, if the only one you take counsel with is yourself, then you're going to be in trouble. No, it is the fool who does what is right in his own eyes. But again, if you heed counsel, especially the counsel that comes to you in and through the Word of God, you will walk in God's wisdom and show yourself to be wise. Proverbs 12:16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. The fool does not have the self-control to wait and let immediate anger pass before making a response. The fool does most things out of impulse, without thought. That's why a fool's wrath is known at once. However, a prudent man covers shame. The wise and prudent man knows that there are many times when the right thing to do is to cover shame. They thoughtfully respond to situations instead of making an immediate, impulsive response. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. The words of the wise are filled with truth, and therefore they reflect God's righteousness. So it is an entirely true statement to say, he who speaks truth declares righteousness. However, the opposite or the converse is true, but a false witness, deceit. The false witness doesn't speak truth, and they promote deceit instead of righteousness. Friends, guard your tongue. Be someone who speaks forth the truth and therefore righteousness instead of lies and false things, and be someone who publishes deceit. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Some people have the terrible ability to speak in a manner that stabs and slices others. That's why it says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Friends, I don't think that means that in a positive way. These are the words that are like slashing and piercings of a sword. They bring hurt instead of healing. Maybe you've known what it's like to be on the receiving end of the piercings of the sword. You've been stabbed. You've been slashed by the words others have said against you. But there's a converse that's true, that the tongue of the wise promotes health. Wise men and women are able to bring health and healing by the words they speak. Ask yourself, dear friend, ask yourself, do your words bring health and healing, or are they more like the piercings of the sword, leaving blood and destruction everywhere? This is something we should especially ask ourselves regarding our use of social media. There's a lot of people who are very careless and irresponsible with how they present themselves and what they present on social media. Friends, the piercings of a sword can bring destruction, even death. Let your tongue, let your communication be that of the wise that promotes health. Proverbs 12:19. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. God looks after those who love the truth and speak the truth. Under his blessing, they will be established forever. However, in contrast, the lying tongue is but for a moment. You know, it often seems that the lying tongue wins the day and is stronger than the truthful lip. But the judgments of God, the judgments of the God of truth, will show how temporary the success of the lying tongue is. I like what G. Campbell Morgan says about this. He said this, quote, "It is truth which abides. A lie must perish. In a world still largely mastered by lies, it is difficult at times to believe this, yet to review the history of the human race is to have evidence of it. Lies are always perishing." Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy." Those who devise evil and practice it have deceit in their heart. And that deceit is in their heart before it is ever evident in their actions. Notice the phrasing there of verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. There's something corrupt in their core that finds expression outwardly. However, counselors of peace, that's the second line here of Proverbs 12:20. Counselors of peace have joy. There is a happiness, a contentment, here described as joy, that comes to those who speak words of peace. This shalom, that's the Hebrew word for peace, this shalom is within the counselors of peace, and so they are able to give it to others. So we have, as in so many Proverbs, a contrast set before us. Are you one who devises evil, or are you a counselor of peace that has joy? Proverbs 12:21. "No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil." Did you see that first line in verse 21? "No grave trouble will overtake the righteous." Now, it is true that God's righteous men and women will certainly experience trouble. Yet God has promised to manage the degree of the trouble, the duration of the trouble, and even the depth of the trouble. This is especially seen as true in the light of eternity. In the light of eternity, it is absolutely true that no grave trouble will overtake the righteous. You know, Paul reflected some of this heart where he said in Philippians, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." It's as if he said to his persecutors, his accusers, "You can't overtake me with grave trouble. I'm in Christ, and there's nothing that can change that." In contrast, though, the wicked shall be filled with evil. The wicked will receive the result of their wickedness. They will not be rescued from their trouble because they pursued evil. They will then be filled with evil. Proverbs 12:22. "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." The God of truth loves truth, and he regards the lips that spread lies as offensive to him. Matter of fact, they are an abomination. "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but," here's the second line of verse 22, "those who deal truthfully are his delight." The same God who regards lies as an abomination takes delight in those who value and tell the truth. Wisdom's lesson is plain. Hey, stop lying and start telling the truth. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. It is a mark of wisdom and prudence to not reveal everything that we know, especially if that may harm or disgrace others. That's why it says, a prudent man conceals knowledge. One commentator named Garrett said this about that. He said, quote, someone who is careful in what he says will be equally careful about whom he confides in. So a prudent man conceals knowledge. He doesn't blab everything to everybody. However, the second half of verse 23, the heart of the fools proclaims foolishness. The wise man or woman knows restraint, but the fool does not. It is in the nature of fools to proclaim their foolishness, and what is in the heart will eventually be revealed. I like again what Bridges had to say about this. He said this, quote, fools, however, proclaim their folly everywhere. They're dogmatic in arguments when wiser men are cautious. They teach when they should be learning. Friends, that could be said about a lot of people today. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. That simple statement, the hand of the diligent will rule, is both according to the blessing of God, the God who rewards the diligent, but it's also according to the nature of the world and society. Let me put it to you this way. Hard-working people achieve and come to places of leadership. Now, like with all the Proverbs, that's not an absolute law, but it certainly is a valid general principle. The hand of the diligent will rule. Now, the flip side, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Because he is unfit to rule over others, or even to rule over himself, the lazy man will be ruled over by others. The commentator Ross had this to say about this. He said, diligence at work determines success and advancement. To put it bluntly, the diligent man rises to the top and the lazy sink to the bottom. Friends, that's a proverb that's worthy for us to meditate on, not as an absolute principle, but certainly as a general rule for life. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Solomon here considered an inward cause of depression. It may come from fear and anxiety within a man or a woman's heart. This is why God so often tells us to be anxious for nothing in the phrasing of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and tells us to pray about everything. Yes, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. An anxious heart can be helped by a simple good word. Friends, encouragement costs very little from the one who gives it, but it can do enormous good for the one who receives it. Our simple words of encouragement can bring strength and guidance beyond all of our imagining. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. This is good advice. It's good advice for both the righteous and for those who have the wisdom to seek after righteousness. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. Friends, it has been rightly said, show me your friends and I will show you your future. But the second half of verse 26 is also true, that the way of the wicked leads them astray. Bad friends can have a significant impact for evil. And many people have been led astray, towards the way of the wicked described here in Proverbs 12:26 because of unwise and undiscerning friendships. The power of friendships can work for good, but they can also work for evil. Good friends can help you on the way of wisdom. But I'll tell you, wicked friends will lead you astray. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Using a somewhat humorous illustration, Solomon showed that the lazy man does not finish the job. Oh, he was energetic enough to go out and hunt something down, but then he doesn't even properly cook what he hunted down. He went to all the trouble of hunting and capturing the prey, but he'll never enjoy the fruit of his work fully because he's too lazy to roast it. In other words, he'll start a project, but he won't finish it. But verse 27 also tells us that diligence is man's precious possession. You know, there are many precious things a man or woman can have, but diligence is near the top of the list. Many great things are accomplished with little talent, but with great diligence. Friends, I know we can't pick and choose on these things, but if you had the choice to pick between having great talent or great diligence, I would say choose great diligence. Diligence leads more people to success than raw talent. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. You know, it's a common belief that the way of righteousness is boring or unpleasant. But Proverbs 12:28 tells us that the way of righteousness is life. Friends, that idea that the way of righteousness is boring or that it's not pleasant in life, that's a deception brought to us by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Here's the truth. The way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. That's the second half there of verse 28. You see, the life that righteousness brings is not only for the present, but it's also for eternity. Those who walk in the way of righteousness will receive and know eternal life, beginning now and extending into eternity. And if I can stress again, that righteousness is found for us in the new covenant, not because we live lives of moral perfection or even excellence, but because God has accounted us righteous because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We trust in him, we rely on him, we cling to him in who he is and what he has done, especially what he did, dying as a substitutionary sacrifice on the cross and rising from the dead in all glory and triumph. That is the place where we put our trust. That is upon whom we put our trust. And God gives us a way of righteousness to walk in. Well, that brings us to the end of Proverbs 12. But before we leave, let's just look at one little place where we can see Jesus in Proverbs chapter 12. Let me go back to verse 25 where it says this. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Think of the many times that Jesus spoke a simple good word and he made others glad. I think of something that Jesus said to people recorded four times in the Gospels. In the New King James Version, it's translated, be of good cheer. But really it means to take strength, to take courage. And Jesus encouraged people with these wonderful good words to make them glad. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, he said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. He said that to the paralytic who needed to be healed. In Luke chapter 7, verse 48, he said to another, your sins are forgiven. And then in Luke chapter 8, verse 48, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. And then Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 11, neither do I command you, go and sin no more. What a word of encouragement, a life-giving word that was. Friends, if we will receive the good words that Jesus Christ speaks to us based upon the marvelous work that he has done for us, then we will receive the good word that makes us glad. And Father, that's our prayer, that we would live in, that we would walk in this wonderful work that Jesus has done for us, and that by so doing, we would live in your wisdom. We need this wisdom, Lord. We need to walk according to wisdom and not according to folly. So continue to teach us, transform us by the renewing of our mind, and help us, Lord, to receive the word of good cheer that Jesus Christ speaks to us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.